word that he's bringing today for us, Father, and I just ask you, that you just prepare our hearts to receive from him, and the words that he brings, Father, will fall on fertile soil, and that we'll go away changed. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Mark. So good to be here again, and I really enjoyed the camp. I felt like, because we came from George, and not many people came from George, and so there were a lot of people here that we didn't know, and now that we're back in this building, it feels like there's a connection. It feels like this may mean Sidi. And we're just super excited for what God is doing, and so if you're wondering where Paul and Michelle are, they are on leave. They're taking a break. They've had a very, very busy time leading up to this. And so they're just taking a back seat for this week. But they will be back next week, Sunday. She's just praising God. It's all right. There was a word that came out while we were praying outside. So for those of you who don't know, church actually starts at 3:15. What's the time now? 3:15. And we pray together and we ask God to show us words. We ask God to reveal His will for us, and it often flows into the meeting. And so if you want to be part of that, you're all welcome. And the picture was of a land being prepared. And the tractor was going along and turning the soil over, and so that the soil would be ready to bear fruit or to be planted and to bear fruit. And I also felt in that soil gets tilled also to kill all the weeds. And I believe there's some lies that we believe today that I want to expose and turn the soil so that those lies do not influence the truth of God. And so this is a part two, really, of what I preached two weeks ago. So I'm going to give a slight recap. And we looked at what does a healthy, mature church look like? Because if we don't know what a healthy, mature church looks like, we don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're building, and we don't know why we're doing what we're doing. And so I didn't liken it, so I'm going to actually explain it in a slightly different way, the way I recap. But my uncle is a vet, and I remember him saying that when he studied veterinary science, that they were studying a horse, and they studied this horse, and they studied the horse, and they studied the horse, but they didn't study the sicknesses of the horses. So he asked the professor, when are we going to study the sicknesses of the horse? He says, I don't need to study the sicknesses of the horse. I just need to teach you what a healthy horse looks like. Because if you know what a healthy horse looks like, you will recognize a sick horse instantly. And so in the same way, we need to know what a healthy church looks like so that you know instantly when church is not healthy. And I was in Cape Town. I'll share the illustration again. I was in Cape Town, and we were having a celebratory meal at a restaurant, and the service was terrible. And especially my burger didn't arrive on time, and I got upset. And I don't normally get upset with waiters or service, but I particularly got upset. And the burger was wrong as well. They had left off some ingredients. And I left there rather disappointed. And the next day we were driving past, and I said, oh, I'm not going back to that restaurant again. And I was somewhat offended. And God actually dropped in my heart. He says, yeah, this is what his church is like. We have become a consumer church. We're here to consume. We're here to judge. We're here to receive only. And God began to birth in me that actually, you know what? We're a bring and share church. And I mean, there's so much scripture. I mean, I barely scratched the surface in my previous preach on what the scripture actually says about us all contributing. And so we looked at the foundations are built on the apostolic and the prophetic, and we spoke about Jesus being the cornerstone, and we fit together as living stones, and we then looked at the gift ministries that are given for the equipping of the saints. There's this lie. I felt there's this lie that I want to break today, and I will go through it. And the lie is this: there is a church for every type of person. Who's believed that lie? I have personally. I've believed that lie. And God began to speak to me and said, you know what, we can't build church around us, because that is pride. That is us trying to fit our culture, our preferences into what he has spoken for, what he has created. And we are to only build what he has designed. God has built his church. God is building his church. And he has given us the blueprint. Now, if we don't use the blueprint, we're going to be building something that is not of him. And the only culture that we have in the church isn't English, isn't Afrikaans. It's not we the running club church, or we build the church around our activities or our sports or our interests, but we build the church around kingdom culture. So there's only one culture in this building right now. It's not English or Afrikaans or whatever culture you come from. It's kingdom culture. And it's something that we have in common, and it's something that is set out in the scriptures. You see, if we, for example, build church according to our preferences or things like that, we also have the danger of watering down the gospel. So you get some that are seeker sensitive, and the issue with seeker sensitive is that it's not the full gospel. It's the cherry on the cake. And so the full gospel is actually death that brings life. But if we only preach life, you will wonder why I keep on being in sin, because you've actually never been taught how to die. So our main job for each other, which I'll get to just now, is to teach each other how to die. That is the gospel. How to die to self. Because it's only in our death can he rise inside of us. And so unless we preach that, unless we teach that, unless we live it, unless we teach repentance, unless we speak about it often, we only cherry-picking the stuff. And what we actually do is we inoculate everyone against the true gospel, so that we think that we're saved, but actually we don't even know how to repent. And so we have to be really, really careful on how we build church. And the reason why we're doing this right now is because we're a new plant. And so we want to make sure we're all on the same page. Now, the Corinthian church, I want to go through Corinthians a bit, 1 Corinthians. So the Corinthian church was so excited to use their gifts that it was chaos. And you'll see now how Paul is trying to calm them down. So in other words, the Corinthian churches church, they were so excited about speaking in tongues that it's and bringing food and eating it, that seems to be have overwhelmed them, and they started to have competition against each other of who can bring the best food, and they weren't serving each other. Then there were the meetings, it would seem, were chaotic. And Paul is trying to bring order. Okay, so when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you've got to keep this in mind, that he is addressing some certain issues. Okay, and if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12 is looking at the spiritual gifts, and I've just cherry-picked a scripture there that kind of summarizes 1 Corinthians 12. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So 1 Corinthians 12 speaks about that each person has a gift and they all come together for the common good, all right? And then 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about love. We all know that. It's often shared at weddings. Now, you can share it at a wedding, but actually, in context, it was about how the gifts come together, but it needs to be rooted in love. And so the verse I chose there is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, and it says, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So this grounds everything that he's speaking about. He's grounding all these gifts. He's grounding everything and says, but without love, don't do it. Then 1 Corinthians 14, he's speaking about the manifestation of the gifts. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, it says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So here you can see the Corinthian churches, they are eager. They are so excited to manifest these gifts that they've received from God. How excited are we to manifest the gifts that God has received us, has given us, that we have received? How excited are we? Man, we need to be excited. We need to come to church, to a service like this, going, God, what do I have to bring? I am so excited, but I'm going to do it in order. I'm going to do it in love. I'm going to do it not to boast, but to build the body of Christ. And so he's explaining all of this, and then we get to the scripture I want to really speak about. And so what actually I've titled this preach on is, what should a church service look like? Why do we do what we do? And it's important that we know why we do what we do. Otherwise, we're just doing it out of tradition. And there's a quick scripture I want to read about tradition, and it's you don't need to turn there. It's in Matthew 15 verse 6. It says, for the sake of your tradition you make void the word of God. And so we do nothing out of tradition, nothing that happens today, nothing when we meet as a community, or nothing should be out of that's just what we do. It should all be Spirit breathed. It should all be led by the Spirit. It should all be biblically based. So we're going to start from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. So what now? It says, what then, brothers? So keep in mind what I've just shared. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one. Now I'm going to stop there. Each one. So now, you guys are very quiet. When I say each one, I want you to say your name out loud. Okay, are you ready? Each one. Yeah, that's beautiful. One more time. Each one. Yeah. So, when it says each one, there we go. Go, Justin. When it says each one, it's me. Okay, stop, Justin. When it says each one, it's talking to you. It's talking to me. All right, so we're all on the same page now. We aren't talking about elders or deacons, or we're talking about everyone. It says, each one has a hymn. Whoa, hang on. Mark, can you sing? So what does that mean? Each one has a hymn. So does that mean I've got to go and write poetry before every time I come to the church? No. No, what it means is that there's a song in your heart, there's a joy, and when we do sing corporately, that you come, not us singing a hymn, I'm singing a hymn, I'm giving that praise to God. So a hymn is praise. A hymn is something that we sing out of what God has already done. I just want to bring some clarity in that. If we go to Colossians 3, verse 16, it says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Now, there's a whole preach there, but I'm going to skip that over. Wouldn't that be nice if we discipled each other? You didn't wait for the leader to come and do that, but each one is responsible for discipling each other. Okay, so singing psalms. Okay, so what is a psalm? So a psalm is scripture. So this is a really important point. Do you know that when we sing scripture, it's like being in a Bible study? You're singing it over your life. You're remembering it. Who can remember just off the top of my head? The fields and the valley. How's that song go? Now I'm embarrassing ourselves. Huh? I've just ruined my whole point. My point is that it helps you to remember scripture, and I can't remember it. The fields and the valley. Anyway. But when we sing scripture, it's speaking truth. So, and this I only realized a few years ago. It was a light bulb moment that went on for me. That we don't come to sing campfire songs. We don't come to have perfect structure in terms of the chorus, in terms of the verse, and then we sing it only three times, and then we move on to the next song. No, we're singing in the Spirit. We're singing Spirit-led. So, in other words, if that means we've got to sing the same verse 20 times or 30 times, that's what we do. You see, because we're not coming here to sing songs for the pleasing of our ear. We're singing songs to worship our Lord. And we're singing psalms to put scripture into us, to put truth inside of us. And so we can't come to church and go, oh, you know what? I really struggled with the worship today. You know, we sang that verse 20 times and I just got bored. No, that was to God. That was what God was requiring in that moment. And so we should let it go. We should let it happen. Or else why? We go back to tradition. We always want to be comfortable. We always want it to just sound nice. No, we're coming, we're singing the Psalms. We're singing Scripture. We're singing to build the body of Christ. That's why we're singing. It's not to play it back to tickle our ears. So we're still on Colossians 3:16, and it says, singing songs and hymns. So now there's a difference. So psalms are scripture-based. So that could be any scripture. It's so great to see that we are starting to sing a lot more psalms in times of worship. And hymns. So hymns is what we write. It's like a poet, like a poet would write. So it's hymns to God, but it's from us. And spiritual songs. So what's a spiritual song? Have you noticed that sometimes someone comes up and said, I've got a song on my heart. It's birthed out of the Holy Spirit. And so we start to sing it. And then the whole church starts to sing it. And it becomes a spiritual truth. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, so it's a command. It's not weird. It should be normal. It should be part of every service that we come to. With thankfulness in your heart to God. And so, Paul and Michelle, they can expand this much, much better than what I can. But it's important to realize that we're not here to sing campfire songs. It's important to realize that we're singing worship to God, but being led by the Holy Spirit. To what? To build up the bride of Christ. So now we're going back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. So we've spoken about a hymn, praise, a lesson. So that's what I'm doing now. The church generally gets this right. Okay, if you look at the traditional church, we get this part really, really well. But I want to say that, so the word lesson there, just to go back slightly, is, it can be, a lot of the other translations say to teach. But I want to say that it's not always expository. Okay? For those of you who don't know what that word means, expository means you take a block of scripture and you work through it. And you don't generally use any other scripture, but you're unpacking a portion of scripture in order to bring an expository explanation, a teaching. Someone came to me once and said, you know, they aren't happy in this church anymore. It wasn't this one. Because you guys don't do enough expository teaching. So I'm like, you know, if you look at Jesus' teachings, how many expository teachings are recorded in the Bible? I can't find any. How did he teach? Parables, stories, things you could touch, smell, see. It was painting a picture. That's what a lesson is. A lesson is something. If you want Bible study, then that's what you do at home, and you don't be spoon-fed. Sure, there is a time that there is expository. There is a time for that kind of teaching, but it's not the norm. Is that what I'm trying to say? It's we have to be Spirit-led. So in other words, whatever I teach, or the person that comes and teaches, it's what the Holy Spirit has said we need to teach on. It's not trying to explain the Bible verse by verse. Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page? A revelation. So what is a revelation? And what is a revelation compared to, say, prophecy? So I did a little bit of deep diving into that. And revelation is the what. Prophecy is the how. So let me give you an example. When I went to the restaurant and I got upset with the service, and God said, this is how people treat my church, where they are consumer, that was a revelation. That was God speaking to me. But now the prophecy is, if I then take that and I share that as a prophetic word. Does that make sense? So often in a meeting, you'll see someone, they'll come up generally at the worship time or during the worship time, and they will share what God is laying on their heart. That's a revelation. Then that goes into prophetic of when we share that. And we've got to sometimes put words to what we have seen. So often in prophecy, it's just an idea that God has placed in your head. You then have to try and find the words to explain it. Does that make sense? And so often you'll come with a prophetic word, with a revelation, but it won't necessarily be released. But it was very important that you shared that. And this is where it becomes important, because often, and from experience, often when people come and they share what they feel God is saying, I go, you know what, that word is actually for me to know that I'm going in the right direction here. Does that make sense? So a lot of those prophecies are for the person who's leading. Are they on the right track? And there's often a confirmation of, yes, we're going in the right direction. So you might not be asked to share your prophecy, because in the context of sharing prophecy, it wasn't for that purpose. Does that make sense? But sometimes when you bring a prophetic word, then we think, wow, that is really good to release, and it's often good to show that God is speaking to all of us at the same time. Does that make sense? And so prophecy is a beautiful part of what happens when we meet together, because it's there for the building up of the bride of Christ. A tongue or an interpretation. This I'd love to see more of. Love to see more of this, where you have a public tongue and it's God speaking through the gift of tongues. And then it says that we need to wait, and we need to wait for the interpretation of that tongue. And then it says, yeah, let all things be done for building up. Sorry, I forgot to just share scripture on the revelation in terms of the prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. It says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. So often you'll see that the elders in front, or who's ever leading or whatever like that, we're chatting away. We aren't talking about the bra that happened on Friday night. We're weighing up the prophetic. We're weighing up, where do you feel God is taking this? Where do we go from here? What should we do? Should we end worship now, or should we just continue with worship the whole time, because throw away the preach, because, man, we're in such a good space right now? Or do we stop that, or do we share with what God is showing us through the song that we're singing? He wants to reveal the truth to His church. So we stop the praise and worship, and we say, this is what God is saying. Are you on board? You understand? And so this is normal. This should be normal in every church, because this is what it explains to us in the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians, and this is in closing, in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. I had a, this afternoon, just in my preparation, I went for a quad bike ride on the farm. Sorry, I just want to drink the water. And I went to a campsite that we have on the hill. And I just spent some time with God. And he showed me a picture of what he wants to do with us here in Great Break. And there was a fire. There wasn't a fire. There was the remains of a fire. So Timothy and his friend, they had camped there the whole week. So they came from our camp, our church camp, and they just went into the farm and camped for the rest of the week in the rain and in the winds. And so you could see that there was a fire there. You could see the ash and whatever. And there was a lot of dead wood that had still not yet been burnt up. And God said he wants to ignite the wood. He wants to put the wood, the dry wood that is ready to be burnt, he wants to put that into the way you light a fire. You carefully, you put each piece of wood in the right place so that when the spark comes, it can ignite. And then I looked around, and the campsite's actually in a forest. And I looked out, and there was nothing but a bush. And he says, because out of that fire is going to ignite everything that is around. And I just got reminded of that the church has been called to be a lampstand on a hill. We're all called to be a lampstand on the hill. And what God wants to do is he wants to ignite something inside of our hearts so that we can build church together well, that we can be open to the things of the Spirit, that we can be easily led by the Spirit, so that we can run away from tradition and embrace the new, which we don't know how to control or to... what's the word? To put a cap on. He wants to bring freedom in our minds and in our mindsets. And he wants to give us a freedom so that the Holy Spirit can express himself however he would like to in our lives. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be exciting? And so that's why we first wanted to preach, and then we wanted to praise and worship. Because now we've seen what happens during praise and worship. And we want to make sure that we do everything that it commands us to do when we meet together. And so if I can ask the music team to come up, and I'll pray that that every single one of us can ask God, God, what is your gift that you want me to bring today? What are you wanting to show me in this time of praise and worship? How do you want to express yourself through me? What are you saying to my heart? And so when we come to sing now, look at the words on the screen and say, how do they apply to my life? God, what are you saying? Is that right? All right, I'm excited. You guys are welcome to come to the front. This is where it happens.